Good afternoon, everybody. I'd like to call to order the regular meeting of the Water Wastewater Committee. We are running with one board member tonight because unfortunately one of our board members is, well, good for her, she's out selling trucks somewhere, Texas or something, and so she couldn't be here today. So we are going to go ahead and go with roll call.
Roll call to take it, let the record show that Chair Ashley Porter is absent.
And this is a time for public comment. Is there anybody on the line?
There is, let me see if there are any hands raised.
And?
Yes, there's a hand raised.
Okay, and this is a time for public comment. If you have something that you would like to discuss that's relevant to water wastewater and is not on the agenda, this would be your time to speak. I don't see, well, I do see some people in the room, but let's start with the phone and see if, what's going on there.
Yes, Kirk Lawrence would like to speak.
Kirk Lawrence. Are you there?
Yes.
Yes, we are here.
Okay. I have two things related to the presentation, the upcoming presentation. One item was from utility reliability. And forgive my ignorance, but we do not have backup power facilities for our pumps. So that would be a question of how is this different from what we've already got? The second thing, I don't know if I'm going to have an opportunity to ask questions, so I'm just kind of asking this up front. The other thing you spoke about, that I'd like to hear about would be the solar. There was mentioned in the presentation about grants, and specifically, I'd like to know what percentage of the costs can we look forward to being covered by these grants. I've been a big advocate of getting our town to carbon neutrality, so this is a topic that I'm very interested in. And if there is some precedent, you know, I'd like to hear about what's been done for other entities on your client list and how you help them with solar. Those are my questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Kirk. Anybody else on the line?
There are no other hands raised.
Okay, and anybody in the room that has a public comment? Hearing none, I will close public comments. We are going to skip the approval of minutes because we don't have a quorum for that, and so we're going to move that till next month. We will approve both sets of minutes, and then we're going to move straight into presentation. So at this point, I would like to invite John up. Actually, I'm going to invite Anthony up to make an introduction, probably, and go with what you guys got for us.
You can go to the second slide, please. David, you can read it right there.
Good evening, board. This is Tom Burdett and County Clerk Steve Wade back there from our Business Development Unit, and they're here to talk about solar.
All right.
Floor is yours, sir.
Thank you so much. As you can see, Veolia, we're ecological champions in ecological transformation and decarbonization through comprehensive energy, water, and waste solutions. These are some of the entities that support our programs. Obviously, the utility, Pacific Gas and Electric. We're big members in AQUA, which is the Association of California Water Agencies. We are a Department of General Services, State of California approved energy services company, as well as a U.S. Department of Energy federal approved energy services company. And we also participate heavily in the League of California Cities. Next. So today, you know, entities, municipalities, cities, counties, community service districts are really challenged with a lot of different things moving forward. We have dirty power, high escalation rates. It just seems like energy costs continue to rise. I brought an article here that just was recently released. That PG&E is proposing a 26% increase in electricity. And this has to do with undergrounding the wires for fire mitigation, They're also trying to upgrade the electrical infrastructure for EV adoption. And there's some pushback on it. However, as a regulated utility, the utilities are allowed to make a net 10% profit on whatever their costs are. So if the state forces them to incur cost, then they're allowed to make their 10% on whatever cost the state forces them to incur. So with demand growing and additional costs for wildfire safety, we just see a lot of increases in the near future for electricity. A lot of our clients also are wrestling with aging infrastructure. They're looking for climate change options to reduce pollution. And obviously we don't have an infinite amount of resources, so we're trying to figure out, okay, we want to do the right thing, but how do we pay for it? This is right from the CPI data. And over the last 40 years, if you take a look at the three components of electricity, there's energy generation, transmission, and distribution. Over the last 40 years, on average, specifically here in the PG&E territory, it's gone up 11% per year. Now, it's like the stock market. Sometimes it goes down, sometimes it's flat, but on average, over the last 40 years, it's been 11.32%. Now, when we see everything else escalate at that rate, we freak out. But for some reason, PG&E can get away with that. Next. So we came in and we had an original conversation with Dina, and we were focused on the wastewater and the water treatment facilities. However, many of our clients invite us to take a look at everything in the city or the community service district, like the community centers, the street lights, whatever draws electricity. We follow what's called the state loading order. So we look for energy efficiency first to reduce consumption. We look for a demand response to where we can shift load to the more economical periods where the rates are lower, like in the middle of the night. And then we look at renewable generation and storage. And we have this proven process that helps share the risk with our clients. So we don't charge anything up front to do the initial preliminary analysis. And then moving forward, we share the risk in the development, to whereas if we can't develop a program that saves the CSD money, then we don't charge anything. However, in PG&E's area, it's almost a no-brainer. So it's very low risk for us to do that. So this outlines our process. And right now we're kind of like in this data collection mode. And I'll share with you some of the goals that we've identified during the discovery meeting. Next, please. So these are some of the common energy conservation measures that we look for. And I'm not going to go through the entire list. But we look at things like lighting and control systems and HVAC and insulation in buildings like this, and just the whole gamut of works. And one of the measures we're looking at is also a water storage tower, to where we could store water for resiliency purposes, pump that water up when energy's cheap and inexpensive at night, and then gravity feed it out when electricity's expensive. Or in an emergency situation, if the utility's down from an earthquake or a wildfire, we can still pressurize the fire suppression systems, the fire hydrants in town, to put out fires if one was raging here in the town of Discovery Bay. Next, please. So this is a lot of goals. Dean and I spent some time talking about these. Top of the list was to increase resiliency for critical facilities for the town of Discovery Bay. And to answer one of the questions that was posed, many of the facilities do have emergency diesel backup generators, but not all facilities, including the community center area. And if we wanted to create this vision to where we use the community center as an emergency response center, it's actually required by the state to have emergency power backup here. And going through a grant that Dina and I did a pre-application for, it would have helped pay for that. However, it was highly weighted towards disadvantaged communities, and unfortunately, the town of Discovery Bay does not qualify.
We get that a lot.
Disadvantaged communities. So.
They ought to come look at my budget.
So, in addition to increasing resiliency for critical facilities like this one, we'd be looking at reducing long-term operating costs through utility cost reduction, through operation and maintenance reduction, and we'll also take a look at your gas and your water usage. We can often upgrade inefficient or older equipment like HVAC and pumps as part of the program to where you don't have to come out of your capital budget for those types of things. And we do have a finance team that will help identify grants, rebates, and incentives that are available for the program that we custom tailor for you. There's also a number of subsidized financing programs out right now. So not everything from like the Jobs Act and the Inflation Reduction Act are coming across as grants, but they're coming across as reduced financing. And some of the programs that we could leverage are like 1% loans for energy projects like these through the California Energy Commission. And in today's environment, where we're seeing 7%, maybe even 8% interest rates right now, it's extremely attractive. We want to provide a comfortable and safe environment. So when we're going through these facilities, like the community center, one of the popular items that we see is increasing the filtration after COVID. We have things like ionizers and UV lights, all kinds of neat technology we can put in your HVAC that kills flu virus, pathogens, COVID. So if we ever get hit with a pandemic like that again, it helps reduce the spread of that virus or whatever we're killing in there. As I mentioned, we share the risk for the financial and the technical risk. So when we bring in a program, we develop the scope and there's no change orders because we develop the scope and it's dependent upon the financing package. We have community outreach services and marketing services to help get the community involved on why we're doing this. And then we'll custom tailor a program that meets your needs. Also, EV infrastructure is a big deal right now. Everybody is starting to buy electric cars. And to be frank, the grid can't handle it. If everybody went out today and bought an electric vehicle, we'd have rolling brownouts and blackouts and PG&E wouldn't know what to do. So we can help plan for that as part of these programs because solar renewable energy generation will be a big component of that. And when we're putting in the solar, it's no problem to put any EV charging stations along with that. EV charging can also generate some revenue from the CSD. As people charge and pass by, you can create a small revenue stream from that as well. Next. So California allows energy services companies like Veolia's SIV division to come in and create these programs as long as they're budget neutral or better for our clients. What that means is over the life of the program, we have to save you some money. It can't cost you more than if you did nothing, right? So there's two ends of the spectrum we can sell for. Sometimes we have clients that are in a structural budget deficit and they want nothing but solve the equation for savings. But then like the Salida Union School District down in Modesto, they couldn't pass a bond for years. And they had no way to fund some of the infrastructure upgrades that they needed, like a new roof and HVAC systems that literally had rust holes on the side of them with duct tape. So they wanted to load it up with deferred maintenance as much as they could, and they were trying to get to the point where they were only saving a dollar. And then obviously anywhere in the middle is where you can land. But then after the grants buy down the project and the subsidized financing, the town of Discovery Bay CSD would realize all of the savings. Next, please. So from a funding solution perspective, it's a really good time. With the exception of interest rates. but the California state has grants and financing programs available now, funded through the IRA. and the Infrastructure Investment Jobs Act, as well as private-public partnerships. So there's ways that if you didn't even want to own it or anything, we could bring in a third party to finance it and do like a power purchase agreement. However, you will save the most if you own it, and you'll have the most control over that infrastructure. Next. Specifically focusing in on the Inflation Reduction Act, out of the $749 billion in funding, $369 was specifically designated for climate-related emissions reductions. So again, going towards the question that was asked online, there's a lot of money out there right now for these types of infrastructure projects that we could capture. Biofuels is a big thing. I know your wastewater treatment plant is relatively small, so a digester to make biofuels probably doesn't make sense here. Mm-hmm. But it also, there's another program out there from an investment tax credit program that will allow municipalities and special districts to monetize the tax credit and get a cash payment in lieu of the tax credit. So in the past, you would have to partner with a third-party private entity in order to monetize those tax credits. And now that you have a middleman involved, they took a cut. Now you can get that benefit direct. So I can guarantee that we can pay at least 30% of the program right off the bat through this grant tax cash option opportunity. If you're in a disadvantaged community, you can get 40%. but we've already talked about that. There's also some infrastructure banks out there in the state of California that float state bonds that offer extremely competitive financing rates as well. Next. So Anthony just got roped in for HubGrade training, so he's going to be going back and learning about our platform that we call HubGrade. So when we put in these renewable energy systems, we'll have a dashboard, and it'll do what's called data acquisition. And it's got a artificial intelligence overlay with human oversight. So we'll be able to create insights and track the real-time performance of whatever systems that we put in. And this will become a backbone that you can add other key performance metrics into it to help you with rate case studies or managing the water and wastewater treatment facility and everything that your imagination can imagine. If we can measure it, we can put it on the dashboard. And this could be available to the community so they can see how the investments are performing in real time. And we offer a performance guarantee. So in the event that for some reason you're not saving the money or the systems aren't producing as stated in the contracts, we're highly motivated to come out and fix them, or else we have to write you a check for whatever the difference is. Next. These are some of our other clients that we work with. Right now, we've got a microgrid going in the city of Rialto, which is a solar array with battery energy storage that's also connected to their diesel backup generator. And so most of the time we'll be able to hold the load with the solar and the batteries. But if there's a weather event or a wildfire, sometimes the smoke can block the solar. So you still want to have that generator there in case. And they call that a microgrid. Next. So here's our journey that we started down the road here. We kind of gives us a little roadmap of what we might look like. So we've done some preliminary data collection. I have kind of like an overview of what water and sewer pays for. And it looks like in fiscal year 2020 and 2023, you spent $1.2 million in change in electricity. So just out of, for a solar array, for example, that has a 30-year lifespan, if you were able to save $1.2 million, theoretically, for 30 years, you could do $30 million worth of infrastructure projects and break even. And that assumes that the cost of power never goes up over that 30-year period, which we know it will. On average, we saw it goes up 11. If we're conservative and look at 3 to 5%, it doubles every 14 years. So there's huge opportunity here to save. And there's a program called Net Energy Metering. And Net Energy Metering expired. They voted to kill it on April 14th of 2023, but there was a loophole for aggregate meters. So if you have more than one meter, for example, on a property that's congruent and adjacent, you can still get what's called Net Energy Metering 2.0. And what that does is it means when we create electricity during the day, we overproduce it and run it back out to PG&E. And our meter goes both ways. So we can generate credits at almost the same price as they charge us, which is extremely lucrative. And they didn't like it. So they got the CPUC to kill it. However, for example, on this site, we are congruent and adjacent to your water treatment plant, which has another meter. And we have until the end of the year to get what's called an interconnection application in before they kill this one too. So we can get you very good return on investment on any properties that have multiple meters or have properties that are congruent and adjacent.
That would be properties that are owned by the district?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Next. So, yeah, here's an example here of the Willow Water Treatment Facility. And you can see it's really close to the community center here. And we could even tie in that backup generator to maybe cover the community center here and add some batteries that are subsidized from the utility. We call that the microgrid. And we'll look at everything from an energy efficiency perspective, creating renewable energy. But there's a significant opportunity here. Next. Same here at the Newport Water Treatment Facility. We're a little landlocked there. Looking at the bills, that one pulls quite a bit of energy as well. So we'll have to take a look at that. Maybe we put batteries there and, help save some money there. And then we could put solar somewhere else and kind of feed it over there if we possibly could. Next. And then we have the big dog in the house, right? The wastewater treatment facility. Taking a look at the bills, this is almost $600,000. In energy costs. It's almost half of the energy cost for the entire community services district. And we do have some land at the southern end of that that plot there. And I'm talking to Anthony, and we know we have some future expansion coming up, and we still think we can fit some solar down there to help offset the cost of that facility and fix your costs moving forward to hedge against those high escalation rates PG&E has offered us over the last 40 years. Next. And if the community ever decides to expand, there is another program out there called Community Choice Solar, or Community Choice Aggregation, CCA for short. And a CCA is when we buy the renewable energy generation system as a community, and we feed it into the PG&E lines, and we can create that electricity at a much lower cost. However, we still have to pay PG&E transmission and distribution charges to get it to all the residents. But this is very popular, and it's taken over by storm in many areas here in California, because we can create power at 20% less than PG&E just on the generation side. And here is a list of community choice aggregation entities that have created in California. And they offer significant savings over buying electricity from PG&E. I'm waiting for PG&E to try to shut this down too. Next. Any questions?
No, I think that well, so that's the presentation, but what's the proposal?
Well, the proposal is as partners, right, we're Veolia is a long-standing partner with the Community Service District. We're offering to do the preliminary analysis of the cost as an added value, and thank you for being our client. We will frame the opportunity. Dean and I will get together, and I need to get some more granular data if you're interested in taking that next step. And we get your energy bills in what are called 15-minute interval snapshots. So it gives me a reading of where you're using every 15 minutes on every meter. Take some homework, but then we can identify when you're actually using that power. Is it during peak, off-peak, part-peak, critical peak? You know, PG&E has a very complex rate system. So we have to understand when you're using that power. And then we have to figure out what kind of land you have for solar or other renewable energy generation. And then we can kind of put some rough order of magnitude numbers together. And if it looks good, then we move on to what's called a project development agreement.
When you say other renewable, can you expand on that, or is that kind of into the future? We're not quite sure what that means yet.
Well, renewable energy could be, for example, pumped hydro. So if for some reason we were able to put in a tower, and we could afford that in our program.
I'm all for that.
Yeah, so when we pump that energy, we pump that water up when it's off peak.
Oh, exactly.
But when we run it back down, we run it through an inline turbine.
And you're not constantly running the pumps. You only pump for a certain period of time, store it.
Correct.
And then distribute it.
Right.
Anthony and I talked about that a year ago. I mean, I think that would be definitely something that we could look at.
Another one would be wind, right? I see some wind up in the mountains there. I don't know if wind is an option here.
We have a lot of wind.
All good stuff. So, as I understand the first part of your presentation, you're kind of looking for a buy-off by the board, I would guess, not just the committee, correct? By the board that would say, hey, yeah, move forward.
Yeah, because
you're not allowed to charge us for this. It has to be financially neutral. Did I overread that?
Right, there's a capital cost for it, and we'll use grants, rebates, incentives, and subsidized financing to help pay for it. But the cash flows will offer a cash flow savings. So for example, if you're paying $1.2 million right now in electricity, and in theory, if we were able to offset that entire $1.2 million with grants, rebates, incentives, and subsidized financing, your payment might only be $600,000 to cover that savings.
And we know that electricity is our number one cost here. That's except for the exorbitant amount we pay for Veolia every year.
We'll help you save some money.
I'm being completely facetious. I've been a fan of your guys' for a long time, going back to Jim. I can't remember Jim's name. Remember Jim that used to? Well, so you guys came to Discovery Bay when we needed somebody to help with this extreme situation that we were involved in, and that was about a year before I got on the board. I've been on the board for just about 14 years now.
Oh, wow.
And so, I know, I'm an idiot. I've always been a fan. We have looked at other options, but we like the relationship that we have with you. What's the action that we would take as a committee today?
Nothing. This is just a presentation.
Okay.
We're going to bring this to the full board over the next meeting.
Would be another presentation just like the one we just...
We'll do a presentation, but I'll have an actual
discussion. Okay. And that would be to move forward with the research and data collection that has to be the next step in line.
Yes.
Because if you get to that step and go, hey, there's absolutely nothing we can do. We don't have land for solar. We don't have this for that.
Yep.
Then the recommendation is going to be, sorry, guys, there's nothing we can do for you. Or here's what we can do. But here's what future costs might be, but here's what future savings are going to be.
Right.
Am I reading this correctly?
Yeah, we have rough order of magnitude for capital budget, and then a rough order of magnitude for energy savings.
Yeah.
And based upon our experience, for example, if we come up with something that has a 100-year payback, we're probably not going to do that, right? But if we have something that has a more attractive payback, it'll help us focus on what we want to try to tackle. So when we do go into a project development agreement and share the risk in developing it and fine-tuning it, then...
And technology in the energy market is growing exponentially. You know, we all know this, right? I mean, things are getting better. Technology is taking over. In the past, when we've looked at options such as this or any options, it's always been about the fact is where the land is. There's no way to get that energy from there, like to the community center.
Right.
So all you're going to do is help a portion of your assets, i.e., plant number two, right? Because there's no way to get that energy over to the office building or to Newport or to here to Willow, you know.
Right.
And so, but so those are all things that have kind of, they've thrown the red flag at us every time we've kind of looked into some other options.
Sure. Those challenges haven't gone away. You know, if we want to use the PG&E grid, we'll have to pay them to use it for transmission and distribution. However, we can save you on the energy generation, it may be worth doing that. Like the community choice aggregates that you've seen on that map throughout the state of California. But if we can locate the solar, like the parking lot shade structures up here in the community center where you get some shaded parking in the summer that maybe help keep the cars cooler, throw some EV charging stations in there while you're at it, then you would be able to generate electricity on this site and feed that meter directly without having to run it through the PG&E transmission and distribution system. That way you're capturing the full retail value of that electricity and not just the wholesale.
Got it. Sounds great. I appreciate the presentation. The presentation sounds good. I'd love to have the rest of the board be able to hear what possibilities, and obviously we're not talking about something that's going to happen in 2024, so
right. This
board won't even be this board at some point, but you can't, we are desperately trying not to kick the can down the road in every aspect of our community right now. We're trying to be proactive with what we do, we're trying to look to the future, we've been making up for that for years of not being proactive. Not that it's, I'm not criticizing, I'm just saying it's a fact. So
right. We'd
love to hear whatever technology you can bring to the table, and I would go ahead and recommend that we have this presentation given before the entire board.
Thank you.
Thank you for your guys' time. Appreciate you coming out. Coming down or coming over? Your address says Montgomery, but I think you're out of the Roseville or something?
Yeah, I live in Newcastle, which is
I know Newcastle.
Near Auburn.
Sure.
Yeah, so not too far away.
No.
But I do make it into San Francisco every once in a while. Make me come into the office.
Is that where your Northern California headquarters is? Is it 100 Montgomery?
That's where our division
is. Your division is, okay.
So we're the Sustainable Industry and Building Division.
I used to
These guys are the Municipal Water Division.
I used to do a lot of work in that building.
Really?
Yeah, I used to have a T-bar ceiling company, and every time a tenant moved out, we'd have to put a new ceiling in. All right, moving along. Thank you, gentlemen, both for being here. Thank you all for being here. We appreciate it. Thank you for keeping you did a great job of keeping that presentation without reading every sentence on every slide, which we appreciate. No, really, you really did. Because some people don't understand that. That's not really necessary. And then give us enough information to generate questions when we have the whole board here, and I think we'll be great. All right, moving along to action items, I believe. Am I reading my agenda correctly? Oh, building update. So we don't really have any building update. Well, we kind of do and we don't. We have looked extensively into an alternate construction process and building. We're getting some tighter numbers put together, so we don't have anything more to say about that right at this point, but I believe that we will be bringing some action to the board of directors at the next meeting. And Dina has a building update that she would like to share.
It's not a building update, but we had an emergency services contractor who has now retired. They've closed their other facilities down. So what I did was I sent our water and wastewater manager to meet with him to see if he would be selling off any of his equipment. So he did that. They put together a proposal, so we'll be bringing that to our next board meeting with some of the items in there. They have a lot of equipment.
Jim hasn't got rid of that equipment yet?
No.
And he's looking to get rid of it.
Yep, we've got backhoes, dump trucks, fittings,
yeah.
Metal plates.
Great, because I was going to put you in. I have a close friend that's a Peterson Tractor, works for Peterson Tractor, and I talked to him today, as a matter of fact, and I was going to put him in touch with you because they sell used equipment. But it's not going to be nearly.
Yeah.
For one thing, Jim's got a heart for our town.
Yes.
He's always has. He's been around longer than Violi has been around here, digging up the ground.
Yeah.
So. Great. That's great news.
Yep.
Maintain that relationship, and we appreciate that with Jim. We'd love to have him continue to support us in that way.
Okay.
All right. moving on to action item. This would be discussion item number one. And do I have Mike Urraca on the phone? Mike, you with us?
He is up there. Can you unmute yourself?
There you go, buddy. Oh, hey, there's Greg. Mike Urraca?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
We can, Mike. We're going to talk about the Ludolf and Scalmanini cathodic protection. Go for it.
Okay. So we have, in our district, we have several areas where developers have installed fly protection. But they didn't complete the installation, unfortunately. And so those very metal fittings that are supposed to be protected by the anodes that were installed are not being protected. So what this project is to go through and just confirm the total number of sites that have these test station wires coming up into the test station box but haven't been completed, and then develop the scope. So they go out and hire a contractor, or what to be a hire a contractor to come in and make those repairs and complete the installation of the test stations and get the cathodic protection system up and running. And the overall budget of the project is $220,000, of which about $58,000 is for the Ludolf and Scalmanini scope of work. To put together the contract documents, go out to bid and manage during construction. Now that leaves us about $150,000 to do the cathodic protection work to bring those test stations back up to where they should be.
About how many stations are we talking about here?
You know, I don't have the exact number, but let's just say there's a few dozen.
And those are just systematically throughout the system to make sure that protection is done. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's more.
So would this be something that might have been not completely completed by the developer, or is this where the town itself has not gotten around to doing this?
Not completely finished by the developer.
That's what I thought. Okay, trying to be gentle, especially when you mention the newer constructions. obviously it is what it is at this point. There's no responsibility that can be other than the fact that we don't want to be as irresponsible as the developer has been. And so I would go ahead, I have to unfortunately speak for Ashley, but she and I are usually on the same page, and I would go ahead and move this forward to
this is going tonight.
It'll come with a recommendation from the committee to approve.
Okay, very good, and I'll see you tonight at board meeting.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate that. Gregory, you're up on the NPDES permit.
You may recall, Kevin, that every 5 years we have to do the NPDES permit, and our 5 years is up. And so we need to prepare the documents and have it submitted to the regional board by January 30 of this coming January 30, 2024. And our permit would go before the regional board for approval in June of 2024. To kick off that process, we have a scope of work from Stantec. We did all of our previous permitting. And I've kind of indicated that basically it's slightly less expensive than it was last time for Stantec, even though it's 5 years later, because they sort of streamlined the forms a little bit. And we have a proposal there. And sort of bringing it here for any questions or recommendations that you have now, and then we'll take it to the board in 2 weeks.
So that's not going to be on tonight. That'll be on in 2 weeks. No, Gregory, from my history with you and in the town here, Stantec probably has as much data as anybody about what we do here with regards to those things. So I imagine using them is probably the most beneficial way to go. And also going to the governmental agencies coming from the same engineering firm is probably beneficial. So I would think that that'd be a great idea. I don't know if we competitive bid that or not, or if it's just, it kind of is what it is.
We did not, but I would highly recommend you stand to for all the
they've done so much engineering for us, yeah. Developed our manuals and our policies and our procedures and all that.
Yeah, we don't have to talk to.
What's that?
This is a service.
Right. No. I understand that. I'm just for the verification of, are we paying a fair price for what we're getting? Do you? Stupid question. Probably don't, but. You don't know what we paid for this 5 years ago, do you?
Yeah, I do. No, we were like.
Oh, I didn't go to the detail. I'm just looking at. I'm sorry, I didn't go to the act. Oh, come on, dude. You're not supposed to make me look bad here, Gregory. Okay, staff report. Gregory Harris. Look, go, Kevin. Read the report completely through.
29-20. It's on the last page. Previous board relevant action.
Yeah, $4,000 less. Okay. So, bring it forward. We'll recommend that we move forward with it. Thanks, Gregory. Appreciate your time. All right, that would be discussion item 2. Any future discussion items from my fellow committee members? I don't hear any. So we're going to leave that up to staff to develop. They have a good idea of where we want to move forward, and I will adjourn the meeting.